16 weeks, hey?
Do you miss me?
Okay, this is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest things that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be happy. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, or meeting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child. So with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness. One should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being free from all sense desires, is not born again into this world.
Okay, so there's three, is that three beginners here?
Three.
Okay. Welcome to the Armidale group. This place has been here for, what, 30 years?
31
years. And it's sort of like a, you could say, a training ground for, you know, the younger monks to come here to give their first talks. So the talks here, you know, are kind of rusty. But still, the basics of the meditation, the ideas would, you know, come across and hopefully you'll get something out of it. But I think when you come to think about the meditation, what you do in the beginning is the same thing you basically do maybe years and years later on in the pursuit of the meditation practice. And as you all know, or as some of you know, that this practice, you know, it takes time, it takes years to get, you know, the benefits that you are looking for. And what meditation does is it helps us, you know, calm our minds down to get some clarity. And the way I like to look at it is just to give you that time in your day to forget about everything. And it's sort of like the story that Ajahn Brahm would tell about the monastery in Thailand. And one of the visitors went there, and the hall was in the middle of construction, so there were like cement bags lying around, the walls weren't up. You know, basically the building hasn't been finished. And usually, you know, when you start a building, you stop when you finish it. But because it was start of the rainy season, where the monks had to pack up all their duties and stop working, stop traveling, and, you know, minimize the teaching so they can spend 3 months, you know, focusing on their meditation practice. So it was the start of the rainy retreat season, and one of the visitors was walking around, and he saw, you know, the mess that was left behind by the builders, and nothing was being done. And, you know, you can look at it and you can see nothing has been done for, I don't know, 2 weeks. I'll just 2 weeks. You can say 2 weeks. And then the disciple said to the teacher, "What's going on here? Why isn't the building finished?" And the teacher said wisely, "What is done is finished." What is done is finished. So that's the kind of attitude I think is very useful to take into your meditation. It's that idea of being able to just forget about what happened before and just be in this moment. You know, be peaceful, be calm, and just allowing yourself to, you know, observe your mind, you know, in the posture of meditation. Just the ability to just sit down and close your eyes and just relax. And a lot of us, we don't give ourselves that, you know, opportunity, because our lives are, you know, just so busy. You know, we're just so used to doing things. But, you know, living in a monastery and being a monk, you have those opportunities to just, you know, just forget about things. You know, what's done is finished. And usually for a monk is what happens after our duties and after we have our lunch. We just go back to our huts, which are, you know, in the middle of the forest on a 100-acre piece of land. And every monk has his own hut. And it's very simple. And the time is used to mainly dedicate to the meditation practice. So when the monks start to meditate, they are trained to let go of what happened, like in the morning, or what happened at lunch. Whatever anybody said to you, you're allowed to forget about it. The work that you were doing in the mornings, as monks we work a couple of hours in the morning, you have permission to not think about it, because if you do think about it, you're basically creating a disturbance in your mind. So you can see, you can try to develop this mindset when it comes to the meditation practice, is to just allow yourself to be irresponsible, allow yourself to not care about the world. Allow yourself to not worry about what that person said. Is that time in your day where you can just forget about everything? And just allow the mind to just calm down slowly, to enjoy that quietude of the mind. You know, as we're sitting, a lot of the times what the monks teach you is to try to ground yourself in this moment. And one of the methods they use is to you know, sweep the body, bring your awareness into your body, you know, feel the sensations in your feet, and just run that awareness, you know, up your legs, up your spine. And what that does is it allows your mind to ground itself in the present moment, and when you can do that, you can start to see that the mind starts to become quieter. It starts to think less. And the more you meditate, the more you can start to see the benefits of having a mind which can just, you know, let go from time to time. You start to like develop a sense of freedom within the mind, a sense of like openness, and it becomes like an exercise that you start to like doing, and you start to like incorporate it into your everyday life because you can see the benefits of it. Just sitting down and just talking about the meditation practice, I think the best thing for, you know, beginners or even for people who have been meditating for a long time is to just do it and just to see for yourself what it actually feels like to be able to, you know, forget about things, to not worry, to let go, to not think about stuff. And people talk about the happiness and the joy that comes with the meditation practice, and you can see this in your lives as well. Happiness from the meditation comes from like the energy and the energy that arises from slowing down the mind, and you can see that in your life where when you you know, when you're working a lot and when you're busy and when your mind starts to, you know, become tired, usually when you wake up in the morning you're feeling good about yourself after you have that cup of coffee, you go to work, you feel great. and then when you, at the end of the day, when your mind has been working, has been thinking, the battery of the mind is drained, and then that's the time where it's easier for you to become grumpy, you know, it's easier for you to get upset. I don't know if it's true or not but I could. Do all arguments happen more in the evening or in the morning time?
That's true.
Huh? Yeah,
that's true.
Is that true? Is it? Yeah. Yeah. So more. So why is that? Is because the mind is lacking energy. Is lacking.
No, because you have too much during the day, and that plus that at night, that's too much.
Yeah, and then you just get grumpy or whatever. So you can see that happening in your life, and you can see, you know, the happy times. The mind is more energetic, you're more, you know, full of beans, as they would say. And when you're grumpy, that's when you're usually tired. And it's kind of funny, but when you see kids go to school, when they go to school and when they wake up in the morning, they're grumpy. And when the 3 o'clock bell rings, they're happy.
The other way around.
The other way around. So that's what you start to see when you develop this meditation. The one thing you look for is the energy of the mind returning and just giving you that extra boost. And you could say that the mind is becoming clearer. You know, it sees things more presently, and in a sense you can enjoy more of life because you're here in this moment. You know, Ajahn Brahm would say, when he teaches meditation retreats, he said each day goes by, even the food's been cooked by the same cook and it hasn't been seasoned well, but for some reason day 3, day 4, day 5, even though it's the same cook and the food is quite bland, the food starts to taste better. Why? It's because the mind is becoming brighter and it can actually see more, it can taste more, it can hear more, it can feel more. And that's when you start to, like, you know, experience life. That's when you can, you know, enjoy what life has to offer. because you're more open to it, you're more receptive to what is going on, and you can see, you know, if you're a person who thinks too much, then you get stuck in your own train of thought and your own, you know, neurosis and your own depressions. And even though you're in a place where things are beautiful, you have your friends around, family, the music's good, no, but can you enjoy it? No, because the mind is like creating the suffering or the depression or whatever that is in creating it. It's not the environment that creates it, it's one's own mind. And you can also Ajahn Chah tells this story about how people can experience two different things or three or four different things by the one experience, and the story basically just lets us know that our minds create whatever we want our minds to create. If we want to make a good life for ourselves, we can. If we want to be, you know, living in our depressions or being a person who complains a lot, you know, we can. And he told this story about there were these two guys, they were just walking somewhere. We're walking down Armadale Road, past the chicken treat. There's a chicken treat somewhere here. Or the Centrelink. Some of us may know where the Centrelink is. And there were these two guys, and because it's an Ajahn Chah story, there were Thais. And they like to eat sticky rice with mango. And they're just walking down, and then it's a quiet street, and there was this duck, just a duck, on the side of the road, just minding his own business. I don't really know what a duck is doing in Armadale. But anyway, it's a duck, and both of them walked past it. And both of them had two different thoughts about that duck. And one of the thoughts was, oh, that's a duck. That was from one guy. And the other guy, he was like, is that a duck? Or is it a chicken? And then both of them went home into their lovely houses, and it was time to go to bed. And the guy who saw, you know, the duck as the duck, he went to sleep easily because that's what he saw, a duck. And then the guy who saw the duck but thought it was a chicken, he couldn't sleep because he was thinking about it. Was it a duck or was it a chicken? I don't know. What is it? And the moral of the story is whatever we see, we can put whatever like perceptions we want on that experience. And it is true that even you could, you know, sometimes people think, oh, monks have the perfect life, you know. We have the perfect life. We live in a monastery. Our teacher is Ajahn Brahm. Oh, he has all the wisdom and all the teachings, and all you got to do is just bow to him three times each day, and everything will be okay. If you have any problems, you just ask him, and he'll solve your problems because he's so wise. So every monk has this opportunity. Alright, every month we get looked after well by the lay people. We get fed very well, as you can see. We get fed very well, and we get a roof over our heads. We have no, we have now. Ajahn Brahm's so famous that, you know, like there's a lot of money coming in, so there's no problems with money. We don't have to think about bills, mortgages, or paying banks back. So in a sense, we're free. We're living in like a paradise. And you may think, oh, monks have it. They have the best life. But is it true? Why do you say, is it true? I don't think so. If it was the best life, if it was perfect, then none of the monks would disrobe. You know, if you know what happens in a monastery, we have a lot of people coming in and we have a lot of people leaving. That's just the nature of it. And usually when a person leaves is because they're upset with something, or they just find it difficult to live a monastic life. And I'm trying to just tell you this, you know, how it is just to illustrate to you, is that even though we all experience basically the same thing, we see the same thing, we hear the same thing, we eat the same thing, but our minds can tell a different story. And basically, a part of this meditation is to calm the mind down, but also a part of this, you know, you could say practice, is to change that story in your head and to make it a better story. That's why the monks, you know, Ajahn Brahm, he comes here and he cracks jokes and he talks about two bad bricks and having the right attitude and you know, making, you know, the karma that you have is what you get from the past, but it's what you make of it now. And yes, meditation does help, but that's just one part. The other part, you could say, is how you look at life. And yeah, and you know, as you progress and as you practice, you can understand that this meditation is quite, you know, is a special thing that each and every one of us can actually learn, because it does have a lot of benefits. And I was just remembering, because I live in a monastery. I've been there for like 13 years, and my life is kind of simple. You just do your work in the morning, and then you just meditate in the afternoon. And I find that meditation is just very useful, because it teaches you to basically let go, forget about everything, and you have the right to do so. You do not have to be the person who takes the burden of other people. You have the right to, you know, forget about it and let it go. And that's a courageous thing to do, and you may think it's irresponsible, but if you practice it, if you go back to it from time to time, you can actually see that it's the one of the most beneficial things you can do for yourself. And in a sense, you don't become like an irresponsible person, but you become a more like compassionate person, a more kinder person, and you know, you can help people because you know how to meditate. You can teach them a few things, and you can understand that as a meditator, you've learned how to overcome your problems through the practice of meditation, and you can also share that with other people. So in a sense, you become like a more compassionate person and wanting to help people. And I was like, somebody came up to me and says, "Ajahn, how do you get rid of depression?" And I said, "I don't know how to get rid of depression, because I'm not depressed." I'm not depressed. And that's sort of true, you know. How can you really help somebody if you haven't done it, if you don't have that problem yourself?
Yeah.
But then, yeah, it is true. So, and then we just had a conversation, blah blah blah, and then you can say, "Oh yeah, you let go, two bad bricks," and all that kind of stuff. But I said to her that one of the best medicines that you can do to help you overcome things is to meditate, is to have that ability to just free your mind and feel good about yourself, empty your mind, have nothing there. And it's just so freeing. You know? Just so freeing. You know, thinking about how much money you got in your bank, or thinking about your granddaughter, or thinking about what you're going to cook, or thinking about how you're going to get his. What's the point? It was like today I had to come here and I started to think about what I was going to say, and I was like, oh, just stop thinking. It's just giving me a headache. So then you just don't think, you just come in and you just talk, and then you just see what happens. If it's a bad talk, then you won't see me in 16 weeks, so it doesn't matter. Well, anyways, that's enough. There's enough chit chat. So just for the beginners, now it's time to just to meditate. And basically meditation is the practice of just allowing yourself to just the practice of removing yourself from the busyness of your life. So basically all you do when you meditate is to sit in a comfortable position. You can sit on a chair, you can sit on the floor, but it's good to just sit upright, because you know it's a posture where there is that gives you like a sense of like awareness and, you know, wakefulness. So you just close your eyes and just get into a comfortable position, and meditation is not about holding a posture, not moving for like half an hour, but it's about getting yourself into a comfortable position and keeping it comfortable. So if you're feeling like aches and pains in your leg, then you can move your leg. You're allowed to move when you're meditating, and you know, as a beginner, sometimes just closing your eyes and sitting still, that could be kind of foreign to your experience. So you tend to like start to focus on your body, and you might start feeling itchy. And sometimes, you know, some teachers say, don't scratch your itch, just leave it, see, just block it out, just try to conquer it. But the way I sort of teach is, you know, if you're feeling itchy, just scratch it. Because after meditating for some, like meditating for some times, you start to notice that the body doesn't itch as much, because the mind doesn't look for it. It's not looking for a distraction. But at the beginning, when you're meditating, because it's a foreign thing that you're doing, then sometimes you're just looking for that disturbance. So you look to the body to find the itches. You look to the body to find the the pains or the aches. But you know, when you're feeling itchy, just, you know, scratch it. Or you're feeling uncomfortable, you can move your body. So you just close your eyes and just take deep breath. Take one breath, two breaths, three, and just allow the deep breathing, just maybe like for the first minute, just allow it to just anchor your mind in this moment. Just take a breath and just allow the air to fill your lungs. And when you exhale, just feel the air leaving your lungs. So this deliberate act of breathing allows your mind to center itself in the moment. So you're just sitting down. Just allow your mind to just feel what it's like being in this room. You know, you're in a room with a bunch of people that you don't know. You're in a room where it's fairly quiet. You're sitting still with your eyes closed. And just allow your mind to clear up. It's the time to let go of everything. And just to be present. To be in here and to be now. You can start to, you know, feel the silence in this room. You can hear someone breathing heavily. You can hear the background noise. Just so you allow your mind to just, you know, focus on these things. Be aware of your surroundings. Because if you're doing that, you're letting go of a whole lot. And if you're doing that, you're actually allowing your mind to rest. Allowing the mind to start building up energy. Start building up clarity. And now you've sort of developed an atmosphere of meditation in your mind, a spaciousness, a quietness, and because the mind is calming down, it is useful to give the mind something to anchor itself to. And that is the age-old method of watching one's breathing. So as we're settling into this moment, just calming down. Our body is calmed down. Our thoughts have calmed down. We can still hear things. But now we're just taking our awareness and placing it on the thing which is, you know, basically moving. Everything else is still. Your body is still. You're not smelling anything much. And what you have left is this movement. The air going in to your body and the air leaving your body. And this is the breath. And this becomes an object of meditation. What it does is it keeps things very, very simple. There's nothing complex about it. There's not like a gazillion steps that you have to take, which will just end up confusing you and causing more pain to your brain. So instead, you just allow your awareness to just watch the breath go in, watch the breath go out. If your mind isn't settling down, or if you're falling asleep, or if you're thinking about the past or planning for the future, in a sense, you feel that this mind is out of control. You feel that your mind has a mind of its own, and in a sense it does. So, when such times are happening in your mind, just practice the letting be meditation. Allowing things to be. If your mind is sleepy, There's no need to fight. There's no need to wake it up. Just allow it to be. Allowing things to be is to be kind. When you're kind to people in your life, you just allow them to be. So in the same, you do the same with your mind. If it's thinking about something and it's not really settling down, and you've come here to learn how to meditate and it's not working, just allow, be kind to your mind and just allow it to be. No need to control it. Just giving that little bit of kindness, that non-judging, that acceptance of your own mind. It's a good place to start. And just having no expectations. As you're sitting down, you can just start to feel the relaxation happening. You just need a glimpse of what peace is. You just need a taste of freedom. You just need to experience why we meditate. See the benefits. as you're meditating, try not to struggle. You know, meditation is not about making your mind even more tenser. Yeah, just allow, you know, it should be a relaxing thing to do. And even though your mind can be chaotic, I think you can still have a relaxing time. So in a sense, you can make that your focus. Just try to feel as relaxed as possible. Yeah, you come here to learn how to chill out. So it's time to soon end the meditation. Now it's time to just get yourself ready to come out of the session. And just maybe your minds are feeling a little bit drowsy or something like that. So it's sort of time to just, you know, wake yourself up a little bit by telling yourself that the meditation is going to end, and just reflect and in a sense analyze and ask yourself, did this feel good? Was it bad? Was it worth it? Now you know you're going on the right track when you start feeling some pleasure in the meditation, because that's what keeps you coming back, and that's all you really need, just a little bit of happiness from your meditation for you to continue on pursuing you know, this kind of development of the mind. So I'm going to ring the gong and you can all wake up. How was it for the beginners? Is it okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
First time.
I have to keep pulling my mind. Killing myself to focus on the breathing.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, that's good. As long as you feel good, that's the main thing. When I was a young monk, which was Ajahn always says that, eh? When I was a young monk, when he tells his story. So I've been a monk for a while now, so I can say that too. When I was a young monk, I was wearing nappies. I remember there was this flame tree. Do you guys know the flame tree?
Yeah.
It looks like a papaya tree. And I always thought it was like a papaya tree, and I thought, oh, great. So wait a couple of years, you get some nice, tasty fruit. But then someone told me it was like a flame tree. And I was like, oh, bugger that. Maybe we should dig it up and put a papaya tree in there instead. But that never happened. Well, anyways, because what happens is when the monks wash their bowls, there's a bowl washing area, and it's set up like in a very traditional way how they would in Thailand. There's no sinks or warm water. You have to basically kneel down or sit on a stool and wash your bowl. And I would do that as a young monk, but now I'm a senior monk. The junior monk washes my bowl. So I don't Yeah, the perks of being a senior monk. Anyways, so I would sit down and this flame tree would be just like a few meters away from me, and I would wash my bowl and I would just throw the water onto the ground to water the tree and the plants around it. And just over the years, I would look at it and I would think to myself, this thing is not growing. And it this thing's not growing. And you know, sometimes you just look at things and you just know over time that, hey, this is a very slow growing tree. So after like, I think 6-7 years, I still had that concept of this flame tree as being a very slow growing tree. So yeah, I had this idea that, oh, flame tree takes forever to grow, I throw so much water on it, and even the other months too, but it's not really growing. Maybe, you know, maybe a meter or so in the last like 6-7 years. And then I went away. I went away to Sydney and stayed in Wat Buddha Dhamma. There's a monastery in Wiseman's Ferry. And I was there for about 5 years.
Oh.
Right? Yeah. 5 years, yeah. So I've been back now for a year. And because I don't wash my bowl anymore, I don't get to see the flame tree, right? And then I think I was walking past it, and I just looked to my left and I looked at the spot where the flame tree was, and I looked up and it was like this big massive tree. And I was like astounded about how much it grew in the last 5 years. And I thought to myself, maybe the reason why it grew is because I didn't water it. Australian natives don't like water. But anyways, it got me thinking about the similarities, like with this meditation practice, you know, the reason why we're here, one of the reasons really. And you could say, like at the beginning stages, when you're learning how to meditate, when you're learning the landscape of your mind, when you're learning how your mind works, and just the growth of, like, you could say, the peace and the freedom and the happiness is like very slow. Like that flame tree that I was observing as a young monk, it just grew very slowly, but it was growing. You can see it. And in the same way, you can feel that with your meditation. But it gets to the point, like with this flame tree, once it gets to a certain size, then it just goes nuts. It just grows, right? And you could say, in the same way, with your meditation practice, after you've been practicing for a while, after you've like learnt the ways of your mind, you know what peace is, you know how to rest your mind, then all of a sudden, you know, something clicks, and then your meditation just basically, you know, it takes off. And that's, you know, that's how it takes off, and that's how I, you know, that's what I've seen over the years, dealing with my own mind, that at the beginning we have to be, you know, very patient, just put in the hours, and then after a while you sort of like get it, you know what letting go is, you know what peace is, and then the meditation becomes very smooth, and it just grows and grows and grows, and it gets to the point where you like develop a love, you know, for the practice, and it doesn't become a chore, it's something that you like to do. Yeah. So that's a little bit of encouragement there, because sometimes living just human beings, we want to be satisfied like instantly. And it's easy to get that feeling of like satisfaction living out in the world. But in a sense, with the meditation practice, that satisfaction doesn't come as quickly as you want it. That's why you try and you might not like it and you give up, because there's no sense of like you're getting something from it. But the teachers always say just to be patient. You know, allow, like I said in the meditation practice, if your mind is just chaotic, it's not settling down, you're not happy with what's happening in front of you, a good method is to just be kind and to just let things be and not expect too much from your own mind. And in a sense, there may be chaos happening, but you can be calm with that chaos, and that calmness is something that develops more, and it gets to a point where that calmness like takes over the mind. So there's the calmness is getting stronger in a sense, and that chaos is just getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
Is that what Buddhism is?
Oh, Buddhism. Oh, no, that's, meditation is a huge part of Buddhism. But Buddhism is about basically overcoming suffering to become enlightened. I know it sounds very deep and intriguing, but it's just basically the Buddha said, like, seeing things clearly for what they really are. Just having like a super clear mind from the deep meditations and understanding life as it really is, and through that understanding, you're freed from all the suffering that comes from life. Now, you know, a lot of reason why people become monks is because they sort of like have a sense of what life has to offer. You know, we seek for satisfaction in the world of the five senses, and we don't get it. Like, how many times do we have to fall in love until we're happy forever?
Never.
How many times do we have to eat the perfect meal to be happy? Does that ever happen? So it's through our own experience that we do understand. I think each and every one of us has some sort of understanding that this life, in a sense, doesn't fulfill like the happiness or
that we want,
that you want.
Yeah.
So Buddhism gives you a different path to pursue, and this is the path laid down by the Buddha. And he was a person who was like us. He had ears, he had eyes, he didn't have any hair. Yeah. And he went off into the and he just practiced meditation, sat under the Bodhi tree, and he got really deep meditation, and through that deep meditation he got insight, like he got, like, you know, understanding, wisdom into the way, how the way the mind works, and into the way of just how life is, and just seeing things for what they really are. And through that came like the liberation. And I think it's like enlightenment. It's easy to explain, but it's hard to understand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, if I say it, you probably wouldn't understand what I'm talking about. And yeah, so it's hard to talk about it in a sense, because people don't understand it. So we just try to, like, I try to just give it to people in a way where they can understand it and just put it into practice in their everyday lives. But basically, yeah, it's just to end the suffering really that we're going through in life, and in life afterwards as well. Yes.
For the beginners, how often and how long should they meditate?
Oh, it's a it's really, I think, really what you want to get from it determines how much effort you're going to put into the meditation. And always at the beginning, it's not how long or how often, but it's, yeah, that's also important. I think for beginners, you should try to do it as maybe, there's no real number really, but as often as possible. If you could do it every day for like 5-10 minutes, that's a good start. Try to like add that into your routine, and try to find like the optimum time to meditate for yourself, because usually if you've been meditating for a long time, you understand that sometimes it's not good to meditate when your mind is sleepy, because you just end up going to sleep. Yeah, it's not a smart thing to meditate 11 p.m. at night, because you just go, and then like you feel that you're not getting anything from it, because you're actually not getting anything from it. And also, when your mind is like too restless, there's too many things going on, that's also not a very good time to like look for peace in your meditation practice. So in a sense, you try to find the optimum time in your day where the mind is not like perfectly calm, but it's, you know, calm enough, it's wakeful enough, and and you know, you're feeling stable, and that's a good time to just sit down and try to develop your mind in the meditation practice. Because when your mind is like, when it has enough energy, it has enough clarity, you can actually steer it in the right direction. You can develop more calm, more stillness, a lot easier that way. If you've meditated a lot, you can understand it's very hard to develop calm when your mind is really restless. It's hard to steer your mind to clarity when it's tired. So, yeah, try to find that right time to practice. That's why at the beginning you have to experiment and then just see where it goes.
So not straight up the home and away then?
What is home and away? They're still playing that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I think when I was a young teenager, I was hooked on it for like 2 seasons or something like that. And then then after that I started working, so I didn't get time to watch the television. But it's still going, hey? Who's Pip? Who's Pip?
Oh, they're Pip. Gone.
They're gone, are they? Oh, long gone. So anybody got any more questions or anything, any questions I want to ask about Buddhism in general or meditation? Yeah.
Do you have any tricks to try to calm your mind if you need to?
Or yeah. Huh?
Raging or something like that?
Raging?
You know, if your mind says to it during the calm period.
Yeah.
But how about when your mind is raging and stuff and want to try to meditate to calm your mind?
Yeah, it's sometimes if you're a skilled meditator, you can sit down and just go back to that calm.
It's not a trick.
And quiet. Yeah. It's something that you develop. I think a trick you could also do is maybe go for a walk, like in a peaceful place, like in a park. Just go, like there's some nice parks around Perth. Just go for a walk without your cell phone, without any music playing, and just walk and try to be present. Yeah, and just allow when you walk through shopping centres, it's very agitates the mind. You got things trying to grab your attention, advertisements, and things like that. But when you go like in a park, it's very peaceful and tranquil, and you can actually just enjoy the beauty of nature. And that's quite calming for the mind.
Okay.
Yeah. Any more questions? That's good. Everybody's enlightened.
Yeah.
I can finish early. So usually what happens, monk gives a talk about Buddhism, right?
About anything. Any topic you choose.
I don't really have a topic in mind.
What's your favourite meditation?
Oh, I'm just at the moment I'm just like doing breath meditation and just bring in the present moment. Yeah, just trying to be still when I'm meditating.
What do you feel would be the easiest meditation for beginners?
Easiest would be, I think, having you have to experiment at the beginning, because people are different. Some people more cerebral, some people more like emotional. So you have to understand what type of mind you have. And what I've learned, like what I've learnt being a monk is the more like the thinkers like to like do more like breath meditation, you know, because their minds are active, so it'll be easier for them to just watch an object. But the more emotional people, they like to get into those feelings of like peace, quiet and silence. So for yourself, you got to know your character and know what works for you. And a way to find out what's working for you is like the result. Like if your mind is getting peaceful, then you know you're on the right track. If your mind is not like getting agitated or not becoming tense, then you know you're on the right track. But if your mind is getting tense, you're developing like a dislike towards the meditation, then you know that you're doing something incorrect there. Yeah.
How do you do that review? How do you analyze how you feel at the end of the meditation to establish whether it's working for you or not?
You can, you know, it's basically like and dislike. That's where it comes from. That's where it comes from. Like and dislike. Human beings, we like, you know, we like certain things. Some of us like to live in cold climates. Some of us like to live in warmer climates. And you know, it's something that we know. And I think when you're meditating, that like assessment comes up as well. So if you're doing a certain practice, you may like it. So you just keep on doing it that way. Like whether it's the breath, or whether it's like letting things be, or metta, or and then if you dislike it, or you know your mind is not really getting into it, there's a dislike there, then you know that's not for you. Yeah. That's why there's so many. I think that's why there's so many skillful means, is because it's made for different types of people, and different types of people, different types of personalities. And meditation is not supposed to be a hard thing to do.
That's
right. Yeah, it's supposed to be very easy. That's why you need to find the right. If you're struggling and you're fighting, and that's the wrong idea of meditation. Yeah, that's one thing that I learned. Learned as a young monk. You know, Ajahn Brahm said, like he said in the suttas, that this is the path without any groaning, which is basically any suffering,
yeah.
Right? So when you're meditating and you're suffering, you know that something is going wrong. So just usually when I was a younger monk, and I would just like, if I sit and I was suffering too much, sometimes I don't really know what's going on, but I know the reason why I'm suffering is because I'm meditating. So I just stop meditating and I just do something else, maybe go for a walk, read something. And then once the mind has like forgotten about that suffering, then I'll just sit again and then see what happens then. Yeah. Because sometimes our minds are not clear enough to actually see where the problem is coming from. But we can always like feel or sense something wrong is going on. And yeah, I always say there is a danger to that, because if you start developing negativity and you think that this meditation doesn't work because you failed so many times, then you'll stop doing it and then you miss out on what meditation has to offer. Yeah. Yes. Oh, a very good student, asking a lot of questions.
Yeah.
He put 40 meditations.
Oh yeah, he did a lot. I don't know if it's the Buddha, but yeah, they said there's like 40 different methods of meditation. There's like the breath meditation, which is very common, and some of the monks like to teach like the body sweeping, like the awareness of the body. Yeah. Yeah, because it keeps your mind grounded in the present moment. It's sort of like a good starting point to build like a good foundation for being in the present moment. And the other one is like the perception of light is another one that the Buddha taught. He also taught about to look at like a corpse of the skeleton was another one to teach, you know, meditators to like detach from things. We all have to die one day, so what's the point of holding on to all this stuff? And so yeah, there's a lot of different methods and techniques that that's out there for people to use. Yeah.
Mm. It's always about meditation. I'd like to know a bit more about Buddhism.
Yeah. Oh, Buddhism. It's a threefold path. Okay, threefold path. Being a good person, being a virtuous person. Usually Buddhists keep five precepts. Not killing, not stealing, not
the Catholics said the same thing, no killing, no stealing.
Not stealing, no lying, no adultery. Meditation.
Yeah, okay.
Meditation is a huge part of the Buddha's path, and the wisdom, the Buddha said if you saw these three things clearly, then you have you become enlightened. And there's like four stages of enlightenment. You become a stream enterer, you become a once returner, non-returner, or fully enlightened. So that, you could say that is the goal of a Buddhist. And also to be enlightened and to be able to the Buddha said the cause of suffering is attachment. Yeah, and the Buddha taught Sariputta was one of the higher disciples of the Buddha, and he said the Buddha taught two things. He taught suffering and the end of suffering. So if you just get that focus into your head, that's one of the main thing the Buddha taught, and the. One of the main reasons why we suffer is because we have attachments.
We have attachments.
Yeah.
Like what, family?
We're attached to our families.
Body.
Attached to our body. We're attached to just living.
Money.
Motorbikes.
Yeah.
Money.
Yeah. And this is a cause for a lot of
property.
Like distress and problems in our lives. That's why. That's why the Buddha taught us to detach, to let go, to throw things away. And you can see that in the monastic order. Like monks, when we ordain, we have to detach from a lot of things. We have family, but we don't have as close a relationship with our family. We don't have money. We're not allowed to have wives or girlfriends. We live a celibate life.
So like the priest.
Yeah, like the priest, yeah. Religion, yeah. But that's like the physical detachment. And the Buddha took it further and taught about the mental detachment. Letting go of letting go of our likes and our dislikes, letting go of who we think we are and just emptying out everything. It's kind of scary, but that's what he taught. And yeah, and it just goes on from there.
I am of the opinion if God wanted Buddhism or even priests and so on, he would have created a human being with no sexual desire. But he created us with that desire, and yet we are ignoring it. In what name? In what? What's the profit of doing it? If you created a man and I'm created a woman. And you know we don't choose what we were creating with. What's the reason?
Why do you do it? Because if you talk to monastics, we don't get born as monks. We get born as people every day living lives,
okay.
And we have experienced life and what it has to offer. And in a sense, we understand that life is, in a sense, dissatisfying.
This
one. We search and search and search for happiness.
For
yeah, using our desires. You know, we think that having like the perfect partner is going to bring us happiness. Desiring the perfect partner and getting it is going to bring us happiness.
Well, why do you have to depend on somebody else to have the perfect life?
Yeah, and then depending on other people.
Yeah, you are.
For your happiness, and then you know, not myself, but. And the other monks as well has been through that, has seen that, and they've understood. You don't have to be enlightened to understand that there's a certain like dissatisfaction with life, and they're just looking for a different path. And Buddhism offers like a different way of looking at things, and a different practice. And what in, you know, and there are like living examples out there of people who have, you know, purified their minds and who have reached the goals of Buddhism, what Buddhism has to offer. And that's what, you know, allows this like religion to live on and continue. Yeah.
Thank you.
No worries. Last questions before the show's over. Not really a show, is it?
Huh?
Buddhism
is increasing, isn't it, in popularity because
people
are lost. What modern society does have, it's
becoming
more dissatisfied.
Yeah. That's right, a lot more dissatisfied. We're seeing through the illusion of what the material world promises but doesn't deliver. And just Buddhism offers you something else. And you don't have to be enlightened to just being able to just rely on yourself, like your own inner peace and your own contentment to give you that happiness. And that's found through like the practice of meditation and the practice of just, you know, living a good life and being content with what you have. And there's a lot of fulfillment in that. But then you can always, like, it's like based on faith and belief. Like, as for myself, you can, you know, just through what the Buddha said and what the great teachers say, that you can actually take this path further and then become enlightened. Yeah, but that's, but you have to, you know, dedicate time and practice and stuff like that. If I were to stop, like give up this life right now, I would feel like content and happy with the progress that I've made, like in my practice and with the peace and freedom that I've experienced. But I know that if I continue, I can just, you know, you can take it further. Yeah, and that's what keeps you going, I think, as a Buddhist. You know that, in a sense, you're not satisfied with the progress that you make, so you just keep on going until you get there. But at the same time, you're enjoying the ride, and you're knowing that you're becoming more peaceful, you know, you're becoming more calm, becoming more wise as well. And if you hang out with Ajahn Brahm, becoming a little bit more funnier. Okay.
And if you stop now, you know that you have to come back again and do it all again.
Oh yeah, who wants to? Who wants to? And the beauty about this life is that it gives you the time. It's like retired people, you have so much time. You can sort of like become monks in your own way or nuns in your own way. Yeah. We sort of, like I say, you know, when you ordain as a monk, you retire for the first, you know, 10-15 years. And then after that, you come out of retirement and you start teaching like Ajahn Brahm. You fly here, you fly there, you teach here, you teach there, so we retire first, but then we come out of retirement. And then we start teaching. It's a weird and wacky world that we live in.
It's more like retreat than retire.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard work actually.
Yeah.
This meditation. It's not just 5 days a week. It's 7 days a week. I'm getting overworked.
And it's the Amador group.
I'm getting overworked. There you go.
Thank you.
Ajahn, thank you very much for your time tonight.
Yeah.
And, thank you. Oh. Can we ask you back next week, or should we wait another couple of hours?
Whatever, you know.
Let it happen.
Yes, let it happen, yeah.